For the past 5 weeks, we've been speaking on this series, Meet Job. And by now, I know you've already been acquainted with Job. You know a lot about Job's life. We've been talking about Job. We told you that Job, I believe you yourself by now, if you're paying attention, you can go and talk to people about Job because now you know about Job's life. Job is a man of integrity, a man of God. He loves God and he shuns evil. The Bible tells us that Job was a man of impeccable character. He was a hard worker. He was a shrewd investor. Job loved God. But it took one day for Job's life to turn upside down. Upside down. And we've talked about it in the first week, second week, third week, and fourth week. I mean, I could spend all the rest of the year, even the beginning of the year, still talking in the book of Job because there are so much in the book of Job that we can learn from. But I'm bringing it to a close this Sunday. But there are something that we've learned, that I've personally learned about the book of Job that I want to wrap this series with this morning. The first thing we've learned about the book of Job is that suffering is real, but it's not always the result of sin. Suffering is real, but suffering is not always the result of sin. Sometimes it is. Sometimes we suffer because we sin. Sometimes we suffer because of something we've done. But suffering is not always the result of sin. And the reason we know that is because in Job chapter 1 verse 8, then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." So if God is talking this way about this man, his suffering is not a result of sin. In Job chapter 1, verse 22, the Bible tells us, in all these things that had happened to Job, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Not only God said Job is a man that fears him and hates what's not right. The Bible tells us Job made a pact with himself not to ever look at a woman lustfully. But the Bible is saying again that in all the things that happened to Job, all the suffering that came upon him, Job still did not sin. Even in chapter 2, verse 10, Job replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we only accept good and not trouble?" And the Bible repeated again, "In all this, Job did not sin in what he said." But Job's three friends certainly did not think so. Job's friends had a theology that most of us grew up with. Good things happen to good people, bad things happen to bad people. And two weeks ago, I told you that's not Christianity. That's karmaism. Good karma comes to good people. Bad karma comes to bad people. Listen to what Job's friend said in Job chapter 4, verse 7 to 9, talking to Job. They said, first of all, when they first came, they spent 7 days, 7 nights. They said nothing. They should have kept their mouth shut. It would have been better. But when they opened their mouth, they said to Job, "Consider now who being innocent has ever perished." Job, you're not innocent. "Where were the upright ever destroyed? As I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it." So Job, you reap what you sow. So the reason why you're suffering is because you sin. And remember that great line from the movie Princess Bride I told you? "Life is full with pain, Your Highness. Anyone who tells you differently is selling you something." Life is full with pain. So suffering is not always the result of sin. In fact, Jesus made certain of that. Jesus made sure, because I'm saying this is because whenever you turn on your television, most likely you will hear a televangelist tell you that Christians should not suffer. Sickness is not part of the Christian life. And whenever you hear that from now, and I hope you could identify, this guy is selling something. Not for God, but for himself, for his church, and for his ministry. Because Jesus made certain of that in John chapter 9. Listen to what happened. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parent, that he was born blind? Listen to Jesus' answers. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Remember the old man with the horse? Who knows? Who knows why this man is blind? Who knows why you're going through what you're going through? Who knows why you've been through what you've been through? Suffering is not always the result of sin. So that's the first thing I've learned from the book of Job. The second thing I learned from the book of Job is that true relationship with God is never transactional. A true relationship with God is never transactional. Then God said in chapter 1, verse 8, God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. As I told you, Satan sarcastically winked at God and said, does Job God fear God for nothing? You sure about that? Have you not put an edge around him and his household and everything he has? Have you blessed the work of his hand, so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land? But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. What Satan is saying to God is, I don't know what you're bragging about. There's nothing special about your relationship with Job. Anybody could love someone who spoils them. Job is not really loving you for you, God. He is loving you for what you can do for him. You answer all his prayers. You bless him with wealth and health. You give him your peace. What's not to love? What Satan is saying to God, Job loves your pocket, but not you. But in Job chapter 1, verse 20 to 21, the Bible says, after the devil went and did all that he did to Job, the Bible says, Job did the contrary. The Bible says that Job got up, he tore his robe, he shaved his head, then he fell to the ground in worship. You are great and I am small. You are Lord, you are God and Lord of all. You are right in what you do. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I will depart. The Lord gives and the Lord take away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Here Job showed proof that his relationship with God is not transactional. He's not worshiping God because of what God can do for him. You hear it before. You've heard it and you will hear it again. Well, if God's so good, why did this happen to me? I'm not serving God. Why should I serve God? He took my mother. He took my brother. I lost my house. I lost my job. My wife divorced me. Therefore, I'm walking away from God. The devil came again. The devil came again. Even though the Lord gave him the Lord gave him authority, but he came again, and the Lord again said to Satan, "Very well, then everything he has is in your power. Put on the man himself, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered?" Satan returned again. The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintained his integrity, though, even though you enticed me against him to ruin him without any reason." Again, without any reason, Job suffered for no reason. Then the devil said, "Skin for skin." Satan replied, "Okay. A man will give all he has for his own life. But now stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, and he is in your hands, but you must spare his life." The Bible says, so Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sore from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. Man, I had a little flu this week, and I act like I was going to die. I was like, "Oh," especially when people were not in the house. I had my chance to mourn and groan. But he went out, and he afflicted Job with painful sores, and from the Bible says, from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. You know how bad that was? Let me tell you how bad that was. When Job's three friends, Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Naamite, heard about all the trouble that had come upon Job, they set out from their home and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. When your friend can't recognize you anymore because of the sickness, you know you're sick. You know it's bad. They began to weep aloud. Grown men began to weep aloud, and they tore their robe and sprinkled dust on their head. "What has happened to my friend?" Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights. No one could say a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. Have you ever been at a point in your life where your friend or your family member was going through something and there's nothing you could say or do? It's that bad? It has happened to me as a pastor. Somebody come to me with a problem. I just don't know what to say. And I tell them, "Can I sit with you?" Sometimes it's just as important to not say a word and just sit with somebody if you don't know what to say. If it's that bad and you can't give them any answer, sit with them. That's how bad it was. Not just his friend. It was so bad that his wife looked at him and says, "What's happening to my strong man? The man that I fell in love with. The man that I believe in. The man that I thought that he was the best thing since sliced bread. What has happened to him?" She says, "Honey, won't you just curse God and die? Give it up. I can't stand to see you that way anymore." And he replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman." Yeah. Sometimes your child can be sick. You could start acting foolish. I remember when my firstborn Isaiah, this guy never cried. I was in graduate school. I used to bring him to school with me. The first time I brought him to school, the teacher's like, oh no. Oh no. I'm like, don't worry. He says he cried once. I don't want to ever see him here. I brought him to school with me. And in fact, the days I didn't bring him, they asked me, where's Isaiah? Because he would never cry, not even at night. And one day I was driving on I-93 going south with him. And all of a sudden he started crying. And I don't know why he's crying. I pulled off on the highway. I almost went crazy. I was acting like a fool on the highway. Because I didn't know what was wrong with him, because the kid doesn't cry. If it's a kid that cries, you know, well, he's just crying. He's just crying. But a kid that never cried, sometimes when something happened to a family member, then you don't know what to do. You reach to a point where you can say foolish thing and do foolish things. It's not because his wife was a foolish woman. No, she was acting like one at that very moment. But she wasn't. She says, you might as well hang it up. You might as well. Curse God and die. And Job replied, you're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we only accept good from God and not trouble? Shall we only accept good from God and not trouble? What he's saying is this. My relationship with God is not transactional. My relationship with God is covenantal. In covenantal relationship, isn't it what the preacher asked you when you were getting married? For better or for worse? That's what covenantal relationship is about. It's for better and for worse. But of course, we don't remember that part, the worst part. You say, Pastor, this man is just bad. Yeah, that's what we said. We said for better or for worse. Because covenantal relationship is different than transactional relationship. You give me, I give you. See, even as a young child, as a teenager, when this 50-50 relationship thing was at its peak in the United States, I knew it was trouble. I knew that divorce was going to be, because if you're going to expect 50-50 from each other every time, you end for a rude awakening. Because sometimes you may have to give 100 while the other person can't even give 0. That's covenantal relationship. And Job's looking at it. Job's like, right now, God is not giving zilt. But though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I know in whom I believe. So I learned that suffering is real. But it's not always the result of sin. But I also learned that true relationship with God is a covenantal one, not a transactional one. This is the third thing I learned. I learned that God is sovereign. A lot of people think the book of Job is about suffering. No, it's not. The book of Job has suffering. But the book of Job is about two things, and those two things I will talk about. The major, major big pictures. It's that God is sovereign. He does as he pleases without our permission or approval. God does what he pleases without our permission or our approval. He does not need to explain himself to anyone. Look up the text and see when God finally spoke to Job, he did not explain anything to Job. You think God would have come to Job and says, Job, the devil's out to get you. But listen, I'm about to let him. So, hold on. Stay with me. Didn't say anything to Job. And even after all these things happened to Job, everything happened to Job. And Job, when God met with Job, God did not give Job a high five. Well done. But Job said a few things, and God needed to rebuke him. Then the Lord spoke out of the storm. He says to Job, brace yourself like a man. You think you're strong? You think you're a man? Huh? You know, sometimes we never understand God until we have children that are teenagers, and they're about to be in the age where they think that they know it all, but they don't. And you're thinking, oh, you think you're a man? You think you're a woman? Go ahead. It's almost that's what God is doing. And through our children, God teaches us so much. Oh, you think you're a man? Go ahead. Brace yourself. Let me ask you a few questions. Who buy the milk in the house? Who paid for this mortgage? Who paid for the clothes on you? Isn't that what we do? Isn't that what we say to our children? God said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. Would you discredit my justice? Would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself? Do you have an arm like God? And can your voice thunder like His? God is sovereign. He does what He pleases. No one can question Him. No one can bring Him to judgment. I also learned something about God, about His sovereign. And this you should be happy about. The devil has no power over you unless God give him permission. And both times God put a limit on the devil, what he can do. The first time God said, don't lay a hand on him. He did all that he did, but he could not lay a hand on Job. But when he came back and said, skin for skin, God says, okay. You could lay a hand on him, but do not kill him. At every moment, the devil had limits. What he can do to your marriage. What he can do in your life. What he can do to your sanity. What he can do to your body. He has limits. Should be happy about that. Should rejoice at that. Because the Bible says he come to kill, to steal, to destroy. He comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And the only way he could be stopped is by the grace of God. The Lord said to Satan, very well then. Everything he has is in your power. But on the man himself, do not lay a finger. Did the Lord say to Satan again when he came the second time? Very well then. He is in your hands, but you must spare his life. Suffering is real, but it's not always the result of sin. It's not always the result of sin. Our relationship with God, no matter what happened, must never be transactional, but always covenantal. And God is sovereign. God is sovereign. He has never dropped you once. And He does not intend to drop you now. Last but not least, and this is where things get good. God is faithful. God is faithful. I learned a lot about the faithfulness of God through the book of Job. Listen, let's look at this text with me again. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came with them. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth, going back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." Now, when you read the Bible, please do not read it blindly or with a blind faith. Because I gotta tell you, I've been preaching on the book of Job for a while, and I have questions. And I ask questions. And the first question that I used to ask to God is, "Okay, God, this story gotta make sense to me." You see, I'm not a mathematician, but I have a mathematical mind. If I took school seriously when I was younger, I probably would be a mathematician. Of all the things, God, you could talk to the devil about, do you want to talk about Job? One man? That was my first question. I find that to be mundane. Like, really, God? Really? Of all the things that you could talk Satan about, Job? Maybe earthquake. Maybe slavery. Something, right? Maybe the Holocaust. Yeah, like something. Something big, God. Come on. God. I know you're Christians. You don't want to question God, but you're better men than I am. So that was my first question. My second question is, why would God allow the devil to do what he did to Job? I mean, if Job is that perfect in a relationship with God, if Job truly shunned God and feared God and shunned evil, why would God ever allow? The devil would come and say, to me, I believe the devil would come and say, "Yeah, so, well, you do everything for him, so why don't you do this?" I'm like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. Why? The third question is, what does God have to prove? What? Is it God wants to prove that Job loved him so much? Does he really need that? Or he wants to prove Job's faithfulness for him? I don't know. Ask those questions when you read the Bible. God is not afraid of your questions. But I wasn't asking those questions as a 13-year-old. I was asking the questions as a 3-year-old. See, there's a difference between the questions of a 3-year-old and the question of a 13-year-old. 13-year-old wants you to know that they know more than you. A 3-year-old wants to learn from you. And through the help of the Holy Spirit, I got it. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, the Bible says, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Let me read it again. "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." In other words, God's word is yes and amen. And whatever he says with his mouth, the Bible says his hand accomplish. God cannot speak a word for it not to come to pass. Now that in the omniscience of God, he knew that the devil was going to attack Job, regardless whether he gave him permission or not. And God's omniscience is looking and see that the devil will attack Job. He wants to attack him. How does he know that God put an edge around Job? Maybe because he went to try and could not penetrate that. And God says, I have to protect Job. And I have to speak a blessing upon Job. And if I speak a blessing, it can't come back to me void. It will accomplish what I desire. He called the devil then and says, do the job before he gets ahead of the devil. And says, devil, have you considered my servant Job to be what? A man who fears God and shun evil. Now, no matter what happened in the life of Job, because God Almighty already speak that blessing upon him, nothing else can happen but him to stay a man who shun God, and a man who fears God and shun evil. So that has nothing to do about Job. So Job being able to stay firm in his relationship with God has nothing to do with Job. It is from God from the beginning through the end. God spoke a blessing upon Job's life by speaking out this word. God says it, that's what's going to happen. Nothing else, nothing less. In that case, I think sometimes we should sing that song. I love it. It's a new song. Has not come out too long ago. Thank you for the scars. Have you heard that song? Lord, I thank you for the scars. Because without them, I would never know who you are. It's not because God allowed the devil. It's not because God wanted to show, prove something. Because God wanted to protect Job. So therefore, he called Satan and got ahead of Satan and pronounced a blessing on the life of Job. And what God says with his mouth, never come back to him without achieving his purpose. That's exactly what he says in the book of Jeremiah. Just like your salvation. Salvation has nothing to do with you. From the beginning to the end, it's about God. It's about God. There's a story about a young boy who lived in South Florida. Got out of school and he was so hot. And he has a pond behind his house, and you know, boys, he didn't even go inside the house. He passed by and opened the gate and ran straight and taking his clothes off and putting it in the lawn, and he just wanted to jump in the water. And then there he go, he jumped. He jumped in the water and he's swimming. But of course we know mothers too. Mother wanted to go out to see, you know, what's going on here? And as she went out to see her son swimming, and as she looking at him swimming, she also see an alligator coming toward him. And then the mother starts screaming and says, John, come back. Could not hear the mother. He's still going forward. John, come back. And all of a sudden he turned and see exactly what his mother, he sees the alligator, and then he's trying to get back to his mother. He's trying to get back to his mother. And as he was about to get to the mother, the alligator grabbed him on his leg. And the mother grabbed him on his arm. And the mother start fighting. The alligator's pulling and the mother's pulling. The alligator's pulling, the mother's pulling. The alligator's pulling. And a farmer next door heard the commotion and he came with his gun and then he saw the alligator. He shot the alligator. And the mother pulled the child out of the water. Now they brought the boy to the hospital. He spent about a month in the hospital. And of course that made news. And a reporter came to the hospital and they finally allowed the reporter to talk to the young man. And the reporter told him, wow, not everybody have a story like yours. Can you tell us the story? Could you show me the scars on your foot caused by the alligator? And the young boy, of course it's boy, now he wants, you know, he's an action figure now. He wants to show his scars and his leg, and he's showing the reporter his scars and his legs. And the reporter's writing about it and talking about it on television as she's with him. And she's done. She says, wow. You should be thankful that the alligator did not bite your foot off. And she was about to go away and he says, no. I have some scars in my hands as well. She says, what do you mean? She says, yeah, let me show you the scars in my hand. And then the reporter shows the scars. And she says, what happened to you in your hands? She said, those scars is when my mother refused to let go. Maybe some of the scars you have in your life is caused by the devil. But there are many scars in your life. It's because God refused to let you go. It's because God refused to let you go. The Bible says many are the trouble of the righteous. But the Lord delivers him from them all. Many, all. Many are our troubles, but the Lord delivers us from them all. From them all. God, I thank you for the scars. Because there are some scars that we have. They are not because God hates us. It's not because God allowed the devil to do it. But it's because God refused to let you go. God refused to let you go. So when trouble comes in your life, don't run away from God. Don't run away from God. Like a winged child, put your head on God's chest. Cry there. Complain there if you have to. Ask why there, if you have to. But never, never walk away from God. Because some of your scars, it's because you refuse to let you go. And all this, Job take his robe off. Shave his head. He bowed down. And he worshiped. Naked we came from this, from our mother's womb. Naked we will depart. But the faithfulness of God endures forever.